Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, for our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's start with a caller, Paul in San Diego, California, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Hank. How are you, sir?
I am fine, thank you.
Good. I was listening to another preacher teacher last night on 131 answering questions. Myself, I believe once saved, always saved. How can you lose your salvation if you don't have it? And in reference to Romans 10, 9 through 10. Some caller called in and was asking a question about the possibility of Hebrews 6, verse 6 through 6 of losing their salvation. And this gentleman said, yes, he did some explanation, but then he said, yes, you can lose your salvation. I don't believe that. But he went to James chapter 5, the last two verses, 19-20, and he pointed to the very last sentence, where actually 20 says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And he used the save a soul from death, saying that that's proof right there that a person can lose his salvation. And like I said, I believe you can't, but maybe other callers are interested. I just want to ask.
It's an interesting question, a question that I've been asked for many years on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And one of the things that I've pointed out is that there are outward appearances that can be very, very deceiving. So you have to start with asking the question as to whether someone is really a follower of Jesus Christ or not. If you are genuinely a follower of Jesus Christ, then the one who begins the good work in you will carry that good work on to completion. That is precisely what Paul says in Philippians. But again, outward appearances can be deceiving. You think about Judas, who for 3 years was part of Christ's inner circle. And so if you looked at the exterior, you would say, here is a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus characterizes Judas in John chapter 6, I believe, as a devil. And so the book of Hebrews, which you reference, warns us that there were Jews who, like Judas, tasted God's goodness and yet turned from his grace. In other words, they acknowledged Christ with their lips, but their apostasy proved that their faith was not a genuine faith. And I say that as prologue to my answer because I think in some ways this is one of those questions that begs for antinomy. If you are a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, it means that you imitate the life of Christ. It's not as though you simply answer some questions or manifest an inner response to logical truth propositions. What the Christian life becomes is just that, church life, a life wherein you systematically partake of the graces of God by which you are transformed from one glory to another. There are many people, however, who simply think that all the Christian life is simply making a declaration. But the Christian life is not about declaration. It is about discipleship. And if you are a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ, I think John 5 assures us that he who believes has eternal life. 1 Corinthians 1 promises that Christ will keep you strong to the end. And Jude 24 guarantees that God's able to keep you from falling, to present you before his glorious presence without fault. So I think we have a surety within us. We're marked in him with a seal. The seal is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is likened unto a deposit that guarantees our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So I take the position that the Orthodox Church has always held, that the early church held, and continues to hold, which is that we are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. In other words, we will, if we continue in the graces offered to us, we will continue to grow from one glory to another. But I think the problem, and this is where the antinomy lies, I think the problem is people have misconceptions. They think that somehow or other, someone can be saved apart from the church. Someone can be saved as just making a particular declaration as opposed to genuinely becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ within the context of the church. You can't be saved apart from the church. It's in the church that you're baptized, you're chrismated. It's in the church that you receive the graces that are transformational. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Kevin in Springfield, Missouri, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Hank. Love your ministry, and I just appreciate all you do for us.
Thank you.
I just had a question about our resurrection bodies. I remember in the scriptures where it talks about after Jesus was resurrected that he invited Thomas to actually put his finger inside his wounds of his resurrected body. So my question is, was the wounds that Jesus had for our benefit only in his resurrection body, or will we likewise show some amount of scars or such from this life?
I don't think we will at all. In fact, I think the picture that we have of what our resurrected body will be is a picture of immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And I've often likened it to what happens with metamorphosis, a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. In fact, I was talking to someone yesterday about this. A caterpillar sows the seeds of its own demise, a chrysalis, and in that chrysalis, the constituent parts of the caterpillar devolve into a mysterious molecular mixture, and out of that mixture comes a butterfly. And I think what's really important in this illustration is that the caterpillar and the butterfly are precisely the same physically, but they're different organizationally. And what I mean by that is the caterpillar has one kind of eyes, the eyes that can distinguish between light and dark, so it can kind of fumble its way around. The butterfly has a completely different kind of vision. It has a field of vision, in fact, and color acuity that exceeds even that of a human being. And then, of course, the caterpillar has one kind of digestive system. The butterfly has another kind. It has a proboscis by which it can indulge in the nectar of life. The caterpillar can crawl. The butterfly can fly with its wings. So it's the same physically, but it's different organizationally. And I think that's a good analogy for what our resurrected bodies will be like. I think also we can assume that our DNA will develop in a fashion that is without the attendant problems of sin and death and disease and decay and all these kinds of things. So Adam's DNA without sin would have continued to be his DNA, and he would have had a glorious body. Now, it is true that he would also, had he not sinned, descended up the mountain, as it were, to the tree of life and forever partaken of that tree of life, which transforms him into what he was created to be, and that is a God by grace. But as far as our bodies are concerned, those bodies will be in every way perfect. And with those perfect bodies, we will learn and grow and develop, because we will not bear the burden of omniscience, and forever explore the glory of God's created handiwork, as well as forever exploring the ineffability of God himself. We're coming to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. And making a difference in the lives of people all around the globe. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Do look at the resources that we have available for you. Right after the break, more answers.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important? The number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Smart machines are reshaping our world and our future. But these machines will never be a substitute for what Dr. Jay Richards calls the human advantage. Yet it is critical for the next generation of Christians to understand that in the future, more and more jobs will be done by smart machines, and we must plan accordingly. The new book by Dr. Jay Richards, The Human Advantage, will help you understand the increasing threat posed by artificial intelligence and show why the marvelous creation of the human mind and body can never be matched by any machine. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves
themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Are you worried about artificial intelligence? You're not alone. Pop culture pummels us with images of intelligent machines overtaking humans. Transhumanists believe that humans are merely machines, and that artificial intelligence is the next step in our evolution. In his new book, The Human Advantage, Jay Richards dispels these dystopian tales and explains why we should be far more hopeful than fearful about our future on account of what he calls the human advantage. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Let's return now to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. First caller up, Julian, listening in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Julian.
Hi. My question here today is about salvation, and I come up against a lot there's a lot of people who think that they cannot lose their salvation and they don't have to repent. I ask them pointedly, do you have to repent? And they say no. And you know, every book in the Bible says to repent. And so I need to a yes or no answer. Can you lose your salvation if you turn away from God? Can you lose your salvation? It says in John 3:3, you know, if you can be born again. And so, but that doesn't mean that.
Well, I dealt with this question on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I think yesterday or the day before, I can't remember exactly when, but in a past broadcast recently, I dealt with this question. And I think that there are many people who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips. They are Christians, but they're not true followers of Jesus Christ. They come to the Master's table not because they genuinely love the Master and want to be transformed by the principles of the kingdom, but rather because of what is on the Master's table. And I use Judas as an example of that. Judas, from all outward appearances, was a follower of Jesus Christ, but internally he was not. And Jesus knew that and therefore characterized Judas as a devil. If you are a genuine follower of Christ, if it's not just tasting his goodness, but turning away from his grace, as we see in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6, there were those that did that. If you're a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, then God is your father and the church is your mother. You're never born in isolation. You're always born in community. When you are baptized, you are baptized into a community of faith whereby you take up your cross and you daily follow Jesus Christ. And within the context of the Eucharistic assembly, within the context of the spiritual gymnasium, which is the church, you receive graces that transform you from one glory to another. So if you are in the context of the church and you are being transformed by the graces that you receive in that context, then it seems absolutely incredible that you would ever walk away from the Christian faith. But there are those who are there for a very short period of time. The seed falls on thorns, as it were, and as a result of that, it doesn't take root permanently. It's choked out by weeds. And so again, I think that the issue is, are you deeply committed to the Lord? If you are, well then, as I've said many times, Paul gives you the confidence that he who began a good work in you is going to carry that good work on to completion. Let me go back to the phone lines. Talk to Aaron in Seattle, Washington, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. So I was just wondering if you could shed some light on the formation of the New Testament canon. What was the selection process when the different councils got together to actually choose the books that that we have today?
Yeah, well, you know, Athanasius was the first to formally codify what today is universally accepted as the authoritative New Testament canon. And so this was not until the fourth century. So what happened in the early Christian church is you had the passing down of the scriptures from one generation to another. For example, from a biblical standpoint, you can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul reiterates a Christian creed that can be traced to within 3 to 8 years of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Now, this is very different with what you find, let's say, in the Gnostic Gospels, including the Gospel of Thomas or the Gospel of Judas. They're dated long after the close of the first century, whereas Luke and Matthew likely used Mark as a source, and Luke composed his gospel prior to the writing of Acts, which was completed prior to Paul's martyrdom in the mid-60s. So Mark may have been composed as early as the 40s, just a few years after the events that were actually recorded. So there's the early composition that plays a big role. The New Testament canon was recorded early and therefore not subject to legendary contamination. Had any part of the canon been composed after AD 70, it would most certainly have mentioned, of course, the destruction of the very temple that had given the Jews their theological and sociological identity. So the early composition, again, is very, very significant. And then, of course, there's the eyewitness testimony. Divine authorship of the Bible is confirmed through the eyewitness credentials of its authors. So John, in a famous passage that most people have in their heads, says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. And so you have the early composition of the church, you have the eyewitness credentials, and then you have the apostles, the writing of the apostles, handed down to the apostolic fathers, to the holy fathers, to the point in which the canon is formally codified because it is widely used in the churches and therefore considered authoritative by the whole church in its entirety. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Charlie in Charlotte, North Carolina, WHVN. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Hey, Hank, I got a question for you. As a believer, and if you'd hear me out for 1 second, like, does it matter what you believe in with the rapture? And what I mean by that is I might like a pastor that I hear, you know, on the radio or on YouTube or somebody like yourself, and I might agree with everything else that they say, but I might not agree with the rapture. So in that aspect, like, you know, like I listen to Doug Batchelor, Alistair Begg, yourself, and I heard, actually, you know, of course I don't listen to, like, Kenneth Copeland and Joel Osteen and stuff like that, but if you typically agree with everything that they say, is it really going to matter if me as a believer, I'm going to be able to discern the times? I actually heard Jan Markle make a comment about you, how you were against Israel and the rapture, and I know she believes that we're not going to be here and we'll be gone before the Antichrist, but I do kind of agree with a lot of the other stuff that she says. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think the motto that we have embraced as the Christian Research Institute is in essentials unity, in non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. So the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults, that's forged on the essentials of the Christian faith, and we cannot compromise on those. So we can never compromise on the deity of Jesus Christ. There are secondary issues that we can debate vigorously, and we don't have to divide over. Now, saying that they're secondary does not mean that they're unimportant. Obviously, if you have the perspective of pre-tribulational rapture and you believe that what's going to happen is that the church is going to get raptured out of the world, and then the Jews that have been herded in the Holy Land are going to face the most severe Holocaust in their history, that has geopolitical significance in our epoch of time. What ought we to do? Ought we to be facilitating this process or standing against it? So there are geopolitical realities that that are very, very significant, and therefore you see over and over again the intensity of learning to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. So it is a significant issue, but yes, I agree that I wouldn't break fellowship with someone that disagreed with me on the particular issue that you raised. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, my thanks once again for all of you that stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Smart machines are reshaping our world and our future. But these machines will never be a substitute for what Dr. J. Richards calls the human advantage. Yet it is critical for the next generation of Christians to understand that in the future, more and more jobs will be done by smart machines, and we must plan accordingly. The new book by Dr. J. Richards, The Human Advantage, will help you understand the increasing threat posed by artificial intelligence and show why the marvelous creation of the human mind and body can never be matched by any machine. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org.